He was the greatest guy to work with. But I'd seen what he was doing, and I thought so much of it, and nobody else could work with him. Never had the patience, I guess. This is what Imbert asked me at the start. He said, "Now, if you're, do you mind working 12, 14 hours a day?" I said, "No. What else am I going to do?" "Well, what about on weekends? What, you know, we're away for 3 weeks. And would you rather go home and start again?" I said, "No, we'll do right through." From then on, we just got along perfect. But boy, that's why once we got working together, nobody else. When we were recording these people, he was the one that was sitting there doing that. But I always kept notes and that. And things that I think he'd miss or anything, I was listening to it all the time. If anything happened or something like that, it was up to me to tell him, cut it, and we'd straighten it out. I'd stop him lots of times and say, "Okay, the mic's getting off." It was absolutely teamwork. He treated me as if I was part of what he was doing, and he'd, many a time he'd ask, you know, "Should I do this? Should I do that?" That made me pretty proud of myself that he was asking that.
So you'd be listening with headphones on?
I'd always have headphones. I tried to get out of the room, too. I'd get to another room if possible. And that way there, you know, it's bad enough for these older people to have a mic around there. They see the equipment go on and me changing tapes and that, so I get out of the way.
Help them forget that they were actually being recorded. Yeah. How much of the year would you say you were gone for it from about 59 to 66?
We'd pretty well 6 months. You know, in the summertime, we never really went out in the winter. We had to go out in the summertime when we could travel on it by car and that. And he'd go out for a week. Then I'd meet him. You know, either Prince Rupert, I'd meet him, some fly in. And the first thing he did when we met, he'd hand me the keys to the car because that was the understanding. I did the driving. I bet you I drove thousands of miles. That was one of the things. The other thing was that at night, hell, you know, we may only get 6 hours sleep or something like that. I said, "We don't bunk in together. We each get our own room, and that's it." And that's always the way it went. But it must be an awful, I know it was hard on my wife, you know, us being on the road. And it must have been also for his wife, who she was a real wonderful person. Well, I tell you, it was one of the best parts of my life was that with Imbert. No. We were in our own little world. And one good thing about it, nobody bothered us so much on the CBC. We were on our own. Nobody bothered us. No way.
The two renegades roaming the countryside.
Mutt and Jeff. He was tall, I was short. Yeah, Mutt and Jeff. I tell you, some people would pay thousands to be in my position to see, you know, there's very little places in BC that I haven't been to, all through the Kootenays and all through there up to Queen Charlotte's. And well, what we could do, we talked to people that built the communities. These are the people that went in, there was nothing there, and listened to their point of view. And each one had a little different history about it. You have to admire them, what these people went through, you know, and the tough times they went through. You know, it's an experience that you couldn't buy. You couldn't buy. You know, the sweat, you know, that we put in getting those things and where we went. We'd fly in, go in by Indian canoe and horseback. See, we had it figured that we're going out in working. We might as well put every hour we can doing it. I never thought of stopping for supper or this or that. We worked from 8 or 9 in the morning till 10 or 11 at night. Bella Coola. We were recording, went up the valley. The next motel to us was a couple of anthropologists from the University of BC. Yeah. And they had come up to get the music and that of this band. And they got on the wrong side of the chief and them, and they wouldn't have anything to do with them. So one night, I met a couple of native kids, and we got talking. There's only one cafe that we went to. And they, "Do you want to go party?" I said, "Sure." "Okay, come on over to our side of town. Very few whites there would go over or even be invited. So the kids took me over. Boy, they were drinking everything from he could think of, you know. And so I got to meet the chief. I mentioned Tony at CBC, and he said, I don't like government. I don't even like government. I'm CBC, you know, and talked to him that. And I said, you sure like to get some of your music. Hear you're good. So right at the end of, I guess around 4 o'clock, I decided I was going to go back to the motel. So I said to him, any chance? He says, you'll be out on the bank. He says, in 2 hours, you'll be out there, we'll come down. Sure enough, 2 hours, I got him. We got it. We got something. And we go down, and they come down, about a half a dozen of them, and played their drums and all that out on the shore of the river. And after the anthropologists, they heard it, and yes, by the time they got down there, they'd gone in that. And they said to me, how the hell did you ever get that? I says, you join them. You join them. That's all I said to them. And that's what we did with a lot of the people. You go in there and just be one of them and laugh and joke with them and this and that. And it's so much different than just reading about it, but listening to them, to get their expression and their feelings. To a lot of them, us having them go back really meant a lot to them too, because it would bring laughter to them and it would bring tears to them. And some of them, when we left, they didn't want us to leave because they told us all their experiences and that. And it was just like telling the family, and we were family leaving. So there was a lot of times that, recording the people, their expressions, really came across. I've seen times that you be recording somebody, and the first thing you know, the three of us are crying because they get so emotional, and we get so emotional. Every time after you finished recording, maybe sometimes only maybe a couple of hours, other times 2 or 3 days, you almost figured that you were related to them because you had their life history, you lived it with them. And boy, I'm telling you, I just go home and dream about, the being one of these people. And oh, Embert, he put his whole heart into it. He put his whole heart into it. No, I'm glad that somebody's going to give him credit for what he did. He was a genius. He was the one that could get stuff out of people that... I listened to some commentators, on TV and on radio and that, and they can't get out of people what he did. He did no way good. Because I am glad somebody's taken recognition for what he did.
Well, for what you both did.
Well, yeah, we both did. We were both very proud of it, but I think we both worried that these tapes would disappear and nothing be done with them. But they didn't realize what we were going through. It's our history. It's really history that it couldn't come from better sources, right from the source. I'm really proud of it, and I'm proud of that like you and maybe other people are doing something about it. It's something it's like it's coming back again, huh? It's being reborn. What we did, Marshall Lindbergh was around